You got your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy 3:16. It's a New Living Translation, and I also got an NIV version of it too. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Paul is writing to Timothy and letting him know that every scripture that's in these books and letters to the church are inspired by God. These scriptures are God-breathed, God-inspired. Paul is not stating that every religious book is God-inspired. You know, there's many different religions, but there's only one that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Religions who claim to know God and write things that are contrary to his holy word, those are not God-inspired. They contradict the Bible. And there is no power and authority that goes along with those scriptures either. That is backed up by God. The prophets did not write what they thought was best to fit the situation based upon what they seen and what they heard from other people. They weren't going off of their things that they were getting through their mind. They weren't going off of their imaginations. They were going what they heard from God. And they spoke that out. Remember, from God to people. To the people, powerful. But from man, to the people, that's powerless. And so these prophets, they wrote down what God directed them to say. These scriptures and prophecies did not come by the will of man. They never prophesied out of their own hearts. It talks about it in 2 Peter. It says, but the holy men of God spoke because the Holy Spirit moved them. They spoke because the Holy Spirit moved them to speak. In the NIV version, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're all called to serve. Nobody's above that. Even the Bible says, you know, it says in Philippians chapter 2, it says, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death and made himself to be a servant. If Jesus served, it's not beneath us to serve. We're called to serve. The word of God is how God teaches us, rebukes us, corrects us, and also trains us up. So the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every evil work. Y'all didn't get that. Yeah, see? Go ahead and say it. Every good work. God does all these things through his word. If you truly believe that God has to use sickness, disease, poverty, sin, and all these other demonic influences to teach you a lesson or even to get your attention, then my suggestion is start listening and obeying. That doesn't come from him. And we have Christians that'll say today, man, God is doing this. God is having this stuff. That wasn't God. And if it had to get to that point, why didn't you listen the first time? Or maybe even the second time? Or the third time? You know, Paul had to ask the Lord to take that thorn away from him 3 times. He wasn't comfortable. He didn't like the answer he was given. My grace is sufficient for you. Let me ask again. Maybe he'll take it away this time. But it wasn't from him. It was from a messenger of Satan that was sent to beat him down, to stop the word of God from being preached throughout the nations. I don't believe that one bit that God uses these evil things in order for him to teach you something. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training up through his word seems to be the way to go. And we are not to be hearers of the word, but also to be doers. We can give people instruction all the time and then, well, they never do it. Then you're wondering why they don't, why, and then they're wondering why stuff ain't happening for them. Because they heard it, but they didn't apply it. It's important to apply what you learned. It doesn't matter who you're listening to. I don't get all fed up with people listening to podcasts and other preachers. God bless you. Listen, some people just want to stunt your growth. They don't want you to grow up spiritually because they want to know everything. Learn. There's nothing wrong with it, but the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Absolutely. He will teach you. And what you're learning through that, write it down and then begin to apply it. You know, if I took online courses, I'm going to be listening to other teachers. They're going to be teaching. Imagine that. Excuse me, I got to do something first. I didn't do it this morning. It's not a ritual. It's just a tradition. It's just out of respect. How you doing? Good to see you. Oh, we'll blow it up. No, it's fine. God wants you to learn. He wants you to be a doer. If God can get through us, his word, by speaking to us, he will go silent, but he won't send evil your way in order to get your attention. He won't do that. He's a good God. You wouldn't do that to your own children, honestly. I mean, you're probably, okay, you're going to find out. You're going to learn the hard way. He will send people your way to speak life into you. He won't teach you a lesson by placing evil in your life. We open up that door to the enemy, who is already where? Under our feet. We give him that. Being disobedient to God's word opens up the door to the enemy. We allow it in our lives. In Matthew 4, this is Jesus being tempted. The Holy Spirit led him out there. It says, and Jesus was led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, Jesus is the word made flesh. He knew right where to go when it came to the scriptures to combat against the enemy's attacks. And look at how Satan attacked him. He twisted the word. Came with a thought contrary to what his word truly says. Satan knows scripture just like us, but he can twist it and pervert it. He didn't write the scriptures. Satan can't create nothing but chaos, but he can pervert everything that God has truly given us. And when God had created all things, and we know back in Genesis, when he saw it, he called it what? He called it good. Everything that he created was good. Man, this stuff I already know, Pastor Tim. I said, this is just a refresher. Jesus said in John 6:63, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. You can't live off what social media gives you, what the newspaper gives you. I don't read the paper. I've worked at the Daily for 5 years and I didn't read the paper. Got too much, way too many papers. Off a soap opera digest, you can't live off of that, or what the movies and televisions may give you. It's the word of God. That's what we need every single day of our lives. We live and breathe, eat and digest this word spiritually every single day. The devil can't combat against that. He'll let you read it, but as long as he can continue to twist the scriptures on you and you don't combat against that with the word, it becomes a problem in your life. There's a time we were staying, I know you heard this story before, but it's so good because it was something that God was trying to show me in my life. We were staying at the apartments over there on 33rd Street, and Kristen was gone and stuff, and I was doing laundry, kids were running around playing and stuff like that. I said, hey, y'all need to calm down. Why? Something may happen to you. Somebody might get hurt, so don't get too wild or what have you. And then they stopped for a little bit, and then they, you know, kids, they'd get right back to playing again. They started playing again, and then I said, hey, if you guys don't knock it off, I mean, y'all need to stop playing. I'm not playing. Y'all need to stop playing, or something may happen to you. Started playing again. A little later, it happened, when, you know, they rile each other up. They start playing again, and somebody hit something, may have banged a knee or what have you, and started crying. I said, see? If you would have just listened to me, that never would have happened to you. And then I heard the words say, I don't know if it's the angel of the Lord or something. I just heard a voice say, exactly. Yeah. Okay. A month later, we move into our home that we're at now. We're unboxing some things. kids are playing around. And I said, hey, y'all need to help with these boxes. I said, y'all get the plane, something will happen to you. Remember what happened last time? Stopped for a little bit, started playing again. A little after a while, you know, and then they continued to play a little more and more. And I said, hey, if you don't stop, something's going to happen to you. Settle down for a little bit. Then riled each other up again, started playing. Somebody hit their head or something. I said, see, if you would have just listened to me. And the voice was even louder. Exactly. This time I turned around. And I thought about it for a second. It's like, the Lord was waking me up because I was wanting to know the will of God for my life. He was waking me up at 4:59, 5 o'clock, or 5:01. That's just automatic. And he was wanting me to spend some time with him in the mornings. And I didn't. I would go back. Sometimes I did. Other times I went back to sleep. All the stuff I went through at that time, he could have showed me because he would tell us things to come. He goes, if you would have just listened to me, you never would have had to go through that. You would have had a plan for that. If you would have just heard me, you wouldn't have to go into that trap. If you would have just listened to me. And God is, and he does this in his word, and he'll do this throughout. He'll send people across our path. My goodness, he will even speak to a donkey in order to get to you what he wants. But he is not going to put that sickness or that disease or that ailment on you to teach you some demonic lesson. That's not a good father. But what if he does anyway? He's still a good God. Because I guarantee you, he sent warnings. We just got to listen. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God has to line up with his word, his character, and nature in the Bible. See, God was trying to show me something and wanted me to spend some time with him. But I wouldn't. He wanted me to connect with him, but I didn't. I didn't have to go through certain things if I would have just listened to him. You know, that's kind of like going to the school of hard knocks. You know, you're just going to learn your lesson the hard way. And I did. I learned now. Listen to the Lord. Listen to his voice. To be obedient. See, the Lord can keep you from going to a place where everybody else is going. He says, why don't you just stay at home? Stay back. Spend some time with your family. Next thing you know, on the news, this place blew up. There were people that were stopped by the Lord. I mean, the Lord told them not to go into the Trade Center. Testimonies of that. Not enough. But if there were believers, I guarantee you God was speaking to every single one of them. Because he cares about his children. Just like parents who may do that with their children, if they are maybe, something off on the inside, they say, God has been doing that throughout history. Throughout history. He told those angels, the wise men, not to go back to Herod. Told them to go a different way. Why? He knew something was up. Herod was saying, come back to me and tell me where is that so we may go and worship. Nah, God seen that underlying agenda. He wanted to kill Jesus. He's seen that. So he sent them another way. He'll do that for us. We just got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what he's saying every single day. Why? Because he wants the best for you. And no matter what situation that you may be in, he's going to bring you out. Because that's how he is. There is nothing wrong with making sure the voice of God is a priority in your life because he loves you and is always looking out for your best interests. There's no strings attached when you're doing that with God. God is good because that's his nature to be good. See, he didn't have to make us into his image. He chose to. Of all the things he created, he chose you to be in his image. He didn't have to give us his authority. He could have just left us without any way of fighting back from the enemy. But he did. He died for us. He was raised to life and gave that authority back to the church, to the body of Christ. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He's not the one bringing evil in your life. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God did not give us a what? Spirit of, but of power. See? God didn't give us something evil. Fear. That's from the enemy. The wrong type of fear. There's a reverence fear that we have for him. But see, he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. You fighting against God, I said, if you really believed it was God doing all the messed up stuff in the world, there wouldn't be anything to resist. Because you're not going to win fighting against God. You fighting against God, in which some people may believe he is the creator of all this evil in the world, you will lose every single time. And some might think, well, that's true humility. That's not humility, man. That's just ignorance. Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of evil. Yes, he created all things. He called all things that he created good. Satan does not create anything but chaos. He perverts everything that is good. We see all this stuff. Man, weren't they doing abortions at one of them DNC conventions? Right in front. Not here from God. That's pure evil. How dumb do you have to get? How evil do you have to be in order just to openly mock the creation of this world? Babies are a gift. They're a blessing. And to sit there and to have that stuff going on as they're openly defying God. That's pure evil. And you get some Christians, well, that's their choice. Y'all need to come to a Wednesday night and understand that the temple of the body is, that's where God dwells. It's his body. It's not yours. It's his. It's his home. You don't have enough people in the pulpits that are speaking out against it, because I understand that. We don't do that. And see, and if we don't ever stand up against those things in a righteous way, it continues to happen. What are they going to do next? Go right in front of a church and do it? And then you get some ministers that won't say anything. You still got to do it out of love, though, because a lot of them were misguided. Somewhere down the line, they bit on a lie. And I think we've been there at one time or another, and maybe not to that degree, but for some of us, yes. But God's grace and mercy. The Bible talks about they will invent new ways of doing evil. That creativity doesn't come from God, but from the evil one. They are taking something that is natural, God created. They are taking something that is natural and twisting the truth of its nature. In James 4:1-7, it says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. He calls them adulterers. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously. And the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That word resist, even in the Amplified, says to stand firm against. When Christians begin to embrace the world standards of doing things, it's failure every time. We're making ourselves an enemy when we do that. We are supposed to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. You resist through submission to God and by using the word in your situations. Well, I may not know the word. I said, well, I may not know what scripture. I said, Jesus didn't say in Deuteronomy 6, it is written. He just said, it is written. A word might be in your, I said, theologians need all the other stuff. I mean, I said, but the devil just needs the word. So when you speak it, make sure you're speaking it by faith. The word will not work for you if you are not submitted to God first, though. It will not work for you. Humbling yourself is understanding you can't do it on your own power. Let God help you by submitting under his authority and his kingdom. The proud will never submit to God or to his authority. And Satan will flee when you are submitted to God. And God is the one who gives strength and the courage and the boldness through his word and understanding of who you are in Christ. So the enemy will run away from you. He will run to those who are truly submitted to God. That comes first for all of his children. We got to be submitted to him. Imagine if the body of Christ would truly submit to God the way the word says. What we're thinking, what we're doing now, won't even compare to if we were truly submitted. It'll go back to the early church. That's how powerful. I'm talking about prayers that shake the foundations of a building. If we're truly submitted to God. So sometimes we have to deny the crazy impulses that we may have against one another. See, my prayer for you is for God to open up your spiritual eyes and to show you who is actually for you and those who are against you. But nevertheless, we need to pray for both. But when we understand what we are against, believers become more effective in their prayer life. Where people end up failing or falling is when they try to resist the devil in their own power. You can't do it. It won't work. Their own strength, and they become arrogant or prideful. So without the grace of God in our lives, it makes it difficult to reject whatever the world throws at us. So God's grace allows us to continue our fellowship with him because he already knows our situation. He knows we may stumble. He knows that we might mess up. He knows when we miss hearing from him, but it's a very good reason why we get back to being submitted to him, because he can show us those things. Sometimes we'll be missing and we don't even know it. Until we read the word, then it's like, ouch. You were right all along, Lord. And his word had never changed. But see, if we stay in that lifestyle, Satan will punk you also all day and night until you quit. And even start doubting God. His word says, I believe it's in Peter. It says to be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, does what? He walks around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you go back to Job, when God is calling all the sons together, and here comes the enemy, Satan. Where'd you come from? To and fro all the earth, roaming the earth. And then God says, have you considered my servant Job? Seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour just anyone. It's the prideful ones. It's the arrogant ones. It's the ones that lift up their feet. It's the ones that won't confess the word and believe what's being said. So he can devour you if he wants to. But you give them that authority. Anything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life, I'm going to let y'all know. Y'all don't have to put up with it. Well, what is God showing me through all this evil? Nothing. Start listening, if that's the case. All these things that's happening in this world, we are living in the last days. So what is that showing you with all this stuff that's going on in even our nation and Israel and stuff? Jesus is coming back. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. The signs are there. He's coming. Well, they've been saying it since I was two. He's still coming. If 1,000 days is like a day here, 1,000 days in heaven is like a day here on earth, hadn't been long. Jesus has been gone for about 2 days. And on the third day, he rises. We should be more concerned with the kingdom of God rather than our own personal legacy and stuff. That's important. Put God first. All that stuff will come. Don't worry about that. Just put God first. Let that be a legacy to your children. Some of you men, let that be a legacy to your children. How you serve God, how you honor him, how you love people, how you do these things. Your legacy is left in people, not in a building, not in a business, not in your job. Sometimes I think we care more about what goes on, what people say about us. When you're standing before the Heavenly Father, you're worshiping, you're going to care less what somebody on earth thinks about you. And we put too much of emphasis on this. I think we need to become more heavenly minded. I believe we need to become more heavenly minded. And when you get to the place to where people's opinions don't matter, because everybody's entitled to their opinion, not their own truth, boy, you can live freely. They can say whatever it is they want to say, and it won't even bug you. Pfft. Water off a duck's back, right? See, it's time to give all our cares, our insecurities to God, so that you can freely, freely live. What are they going to say about me if I stand up for my faith? Who cares? When you stand up for him, he'll stand up for you. Remember Stephen? I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because he was taking a stand for God. If you stay committed and submitted to God and fully trust him, he will take care of the rest. You will no longer have to cover your trails. Because God can uncover what's already been covered up anyway. Well, I got to cover my trail. You ain't got to live that way. You don't think God sees that? I got to cover my trail. I got to make sure nobody's... God can see that. He can reveal it and uncover it and everything else. And the thing about it is, it's going to help you because he wants to love you. He loves you so much. You don't have to cover that up because he can't heal what's concealed. So if there's one person in this world that we can be transparent with, it's him. He sees all. He knows all. Give it to him and leave it in the past. Forget about it. Forget about it. Just forget about it. We don't want to go like Sarah and look back. Forget about it. God's not holding your past against you. Forget about it. He's a good God. I'm so thankful that he calls us by our name, not by our sin. Forget about it. Turn your neighbor and say, forget about it, with that Brooklyn accent. Forget about it. He loves you. your children. Don't care what your past is. I know some people who've done some stuff in the past and it was like, okay, that was a life lesson. But God's grace changes them. His mercy changes them. So never allow somebody to look down upon you because of your past or even your youth or your for your years of wisdom. No, you're not old. If God has given us 120 years, and you in your 60s, you're just middle-aged, that's all. You're middle-aged, don't worry about it. Moses didn't start until he was 80. And he was still climbing mountains at the age of 120. We have it better. I think sometimes society will say, this is the way you need to be. You don't have to be that lady or that man on life alert. You don't have to be that person. But sometimes we can let television tell us a vision. That doesn't have to be you. The Word of God is where it's at. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Come on. You still got more work to do. Jesus is coming back, but there's still more work to be done. So don't ever think that you can't contribute, because that would just be the enemy messing with you. God's a good God. And what he has started in you, he will see it through. He is the author and the perfecter or finisher of our faith. He's going to see it through. Father God, we just thank you. For everyone here, we thank you for their life, health, and strength, Lord. And if there's anyone here who has never, ever received Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior, they don't know. If Jesus were to come back today, they don't know they will spend eternity with him. And they wanted to give their life to him today. Raise your hand and we'll do that. We'll pray with you. If there's anyone here who's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to do that, all you have to do is ask him. And your Heavenly Father, who loves to give generously, will give you the Holy Spirit. Doesn't have to be here. It could be at home. He will fill you with his Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for everyone here. We thank you for their life, health, and strength. We thank you for the connections that they are making with people every single day. And we thank you for the boldness that they're able to go out there and witness through your Spirit and through your Word. We thank you that everything they set their hand to prospers because the blessing is on them in their lives. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Let's stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.